Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is Nerd Nuptial episode 27. This has been a long-awaited episode.
I think our very first podcast, we talked about Suicide Squad.
Yeah, one of the first things that we ever talked about was Suicide Squad. It was...
the anticipation.
It was... I can't remember if it was the first trailer or the second trailer that we were talking about, but it was one of the two. And,
yeah,
and so that shows you how young this show actually is.
Yeah, we didn't start that long ago. It was February, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah, the network started in February, and yeah, Nerd Nuptial came soon after that. So, yeah, absolutely, it's been weird. It's been a whirlwind, but yeah. So you guys know our regular schedule. You know, like, we go see the movie, we don't talk about it on the way home. We don't discuss it, and then we get home and we turn on the mics, and then so you guys are hearing the first time that we are talking about it. But before we get into that, we would like to mention that we have a new 5-star review.
Yay!
From Trey34. He had some very nice things to say about our show. He listened to our he loved Stranger Things. He loved the show Stranger Things on Netflix. And so when he saw that in my timeline on Twitter, he's like, I gotta check this out. And then he listened to one he said he listened to one episode and he's hooked, and now he's going back to the beginning.
That's so cool.
And catching up.
Yay, that's awesome.
So thank you very much, Trey34, and everybody else should be awesome like Trey34. And go to iTunes and write us a review, and if you give us 5 stars, we'll mention you on the podcast.
Of course.
Now, I just want to mention to our listeners around the world, if you give us a 5-star rating or a review in your respective iTunes stores, make sure that you message us. And if you can message me directly, that would be the easiest thing, because Lee Hutchison, friend of the network and co-host on the Senate Floor and Filibuster, he sent me a message from one of our listeners in Poland. I cannot find it right now. And so to that listener, I apologize. You will be mentioned next week. So you know who you are, and we want to thank you for writing us a 5-star review. But we will mention you by name next week.
That's right.
All right. Well, I mean, I guess we shouldn't really tease it too much longer. I mean, like, we were thinking about starting the show and just really drawing it out and like just pressuring, like just torturing you guys and talking about The Killing Joke.
Oh yeah, because we didn't see that this week.
Yeah, the Killing Joke is a graphic novel by Alan Moore. And it goes around the theme of, you know, like, everybody's close to madness after having one bad day. And it's the novel where Barbara gets shot and she gets paralyzed, and the Joker captures Commissioner Gordon, takes him to an amusement park and tries to torture his mind, and then Batman saves the day. And that an animated movie came out, and it's rated R, and a lot of people were like, holy crap, you know, like a rated R animated film about Batman, that's pretty crazy. And it just got released, we just watched it, and it was interesting.
I think you were pretty critical of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little bit more open, I think, towards it, just because I wasn't as familiar with The Killing Joke, whereas it made me want to read The Killing Joke.
Mm-hmm.
And they also kind of padded it at the beginning with a lot of Batgirl stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that like Batgirl in The Killing Joke is very much just there to get shot.
Okay.
And so I feel like there was a whole lot at the beginning that they added to bulk up her part. And so they show her like go through this whole basically it felt like two movies put into one, or two stories put into one, because that's essentially
basically
what it was.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure they did that so that we cared more about Batgirl when she actually did get shot.
Mm-hmm.
But you had a lot of problems with it.
Yes, I think I'm not going to spoil this one because I want people to go see it for themselves. So, but the thing is, I mean,
yeah, it didn't come out that long ago.
It didn't come out that long ago, and I didn't spoil anything for you because Batgirl getting shot. If you're a Batman fan and you're actually going you should know that by now.
You know, she becomes Oracle and everything like that. So. Yeah.
So I won't spoil that for you, but I had mixed emotions. They made a lot of wrong decisions. They were very faithful. Once we actually got to the Killing Joke storyline, they were quite faithful to it, very faithful to it visually as well as writing wise. But to me, it just kind of lacked that luster of the original. There was something that didn't translate. I don't know what it was.
Well, I think we were talking about it and you were showing me the Killing Joke and kind of talking about the scenes that bothered you. And I feel like maybe it's just part of it is translating it to the screen from the page. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's one of the things that we watched like a kind of a behind the scenes about it. And there's so much interpretation mm-hmm. involved in the Killing Joke. So I feel like maybe some of that interpretation's lost, or you feel like they went in a direction that you didn't want them to go in by interpreting it onto the screen.
Yeah, I think that's what it was, is that it's you cannot blame them because... Like, again, once you got to the Killing Joke storyline,
right.
they were very faithful. But yeah, just something was lost in translation.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think everybody should check it out. Make the decision on your own and let us know what you think. You can email us at contact@thenerdparty.com. You can also email us by going to thenerdparty.com/contact. Or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheNerdParty. You can even find us on Twitter at join nerd party. There's really no excuse not to be able to reach out to us.
That's right.
And you know what? I'm going to say one more thing before we get into Suicide Squad. We are partners with lootcrate.com. Lootcrate.com is a subscription service that it's a geek box service where you'll get tons of geek box stuff. You'll get tons of geek stuff in a box. It's not just boxes within a box. You'll get like Pop Funkos, action figures, t-shirts, comics, everything like that. It's $40+ worth of merchandise you get for 20. And if you enter in the code NERDPARTY by going to lootcrate.com/NERDPARTY, you will save even more money off of that. This month, I believe, is anti-heroes.
Mm.
And so I think you might actually get some Harley Quinn stuff in this one.
Ooh.
So we might have to pick this one up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's enough teasing for them. So, Suicide Squad.
All right.
The much anticipated movie. Oh, like this is the most anticipated movie of this show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I have a very strong love for Harley Quinn. And mm-hmm. I've always kind of connected to her. Like, she's my Batman. Like, you love Batman. And I love Harley Quinn. So, I was very... like excited but mm-hmm. apprehensive about seeing how she was interpreted onto the screen because mm-hmm. it's the first time. So yeah, I don't know how to start this.
I don't know how to start it either
because I don't know how you feel and
I don't know how you feel either. And it's interesting because
can we start at the beginning? Should we start?
Yeah, I think this is one of those rare times where let's just, instead of saying hey first impressions, let's start at the beginning. So so we went to the theater and they started, like, because we have assigned seats now, we showed up like right before the movie started.
It was a beautiful thing.
We showed up and it was awesome. And they started showing, something went wrong with the projector.
That's right.
Where the Chris Nolan's new film, Dunkirk, got overlaid on top of Seth Rogen's new film. not Seth Rogen. What's his name? The other fat guy from that. He was in, I don't know, what's his name? He was in Moneyball and Superbad.
Jonah Hill.
Yeah. So Chris Nolan's latest film was overlaid on top.
It was a little trippy.
It was kind of weird. Like at first I was like, what is going on? I said, from Christopher Nolan. And then you see Jonah Hill's almost bare ass on screen. And it's like, what is
and like happening? War scenes, it was like juxtaposed.
It was so strange.
And we were like, oh, this is not gonna be good. What's gonna happen? And then we heard a baby crying, and I was like, who brought their baby to Suicide Squad?
That's a legitimate concern.
I was like, really?
Like, there were kids way too young in that theater.
Oh my gosh.
Way too young in that theater.
We're such prudes. But
no, I know. I think that's a genuine thing. I think people take the PG-13 too seriously. Like, it's really annoying. I mean, the violence in Suicide Squad was very tame. It was very much PG-13 violence.
Yes.
But at the same time, there was language for children. Yeah, there was language that wasn't appropriate for children. But regardless, anyway, so that kind of happened. And then the screen just kind of went blank. And I was like, oh, crap.
Like, it was long enough that I half expected an announcement to come over.
Yeah.
Or like someone to walk in and be like, sorry, guys.
We got
to
fix the projector. Something went wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of those things. But then all of a sudden it just pops up. We see the Warner Brothers logo, but all like Suicide Squad-y.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's
Suicide Squad-y.
It's like neon green and purple and pink and everything like that. And at first I thought it was a little out of focus. I was like, oh, dang it. I'm going to have to get up, tell them it's out of focus. They're going to have to get up there.
Because you're always that guy.
I am that guy. I'm the person who will say something is wrong.
Because most of the audience doesn't even notice.
But thankfully it was not out of focus once we actually got to see people's faces. So, okay. Actually, let's start with first impressions. We got to start.
Oh, really?
We got to start with first impressions. So...
Okay.
What did you think? What was your process through the film?
Okay. Well, I'm going to start from the beginning.
Okay.
So I liked the beginning. I thought, okay, they have a style and they're sticking to it. Like, I wrapped my head around it. And also, going into this, it was sad because we had not been shielded.
That's true.
And it sucks. Because I think because we love these characters so much, I think people were like, hey, heard it sucks.
People like messaged us directly and said like, oh, I heard the movie sucks. How do you feel? Well, how about you let us watch the movie first before you tell us you think it sucks?
It makes me angry. Okay, yeah. So don't do that to us in the future. Because it
sucks.
And
you know who you are.
It sucks.
You're listening to our voices
because
right now and you know who you are.
I wanted to go in and be like, whatever happens, happens. Whereas I was already defensive and kind of being like, okay, this is not going to be what you want it to be because of what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't hear any specifics. I just heard that it has not been doing well. Mm-hmm. So I liked the idea of like these, you know, showing the snippets of the backstory. I was like, oh, okay, they're doing this in a creative, fun way with music, kind of like, you know, representing each character. I liked that a lot. I really liked how Harley Quinn was represented at the beginning of the movie a lot. Mm-hmm. I thought it was fun. I was like, okay, yeah, that's much more the Harley Quinn, like her interpretation of Harley Quinn, but
it's very much Margot Robbie does Harley Quinn,
but that's okay. Like hey, we're getting Harley Quinn, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I liked the beginning. I felt like they had a style and they were sticking to it. How did you feel about that beginning?
Yeah, no, at the beginning, absolutely. I'm basically gonna say the same things that you were saying. Is that my gut reaction was, I don't like this style. Like my gut reaction is, this is weird. Like they're putting titles on the screen and it's very cartoony.
Mm-hmm.
It's very like they have a list of their abilities and you like you hear like a shotgun, like, you know,
yeah.
Like Harley Quinn, you know, blah, 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 blah. It was very cartoony, very over the top. My knee jerk was that I didn't like it, but then I was like, you know, no, that's the style that they're stick. That's their style. So just because it's not what you expected it to be, just accept that that's the style and then run with it. And so then I was able to enjoy it more.
That's exactly how I felt too. Because I was like, eh. Like I had that same knee jerk.
Mm-hmm.
But then I immediately was like, okay, let's go with this.
Yeah.
Let's see how they take this. And I did kind of appreciate that they spent a little bit more time on the main characters versus...
Like Deadshot.
Yeah, like
Quinn.
We didn't need to know a ton about Boomerang or...
Or Killer Croc.
Killer Croc or anything like that. Like we focused on the ones that we needed to focus on.
Oh, and by the way, before we get any further, you guys should know this by now, but in case you're first-time listeners, this is going to be a very spoiler-filled review.
Yes.
We do not do spoiler-free reviews, so nothing has been spoiled yet.
Nope.
Not a single thing has been spoiled yet.
A single thing.
So if you have not seen it yet, Do not listen any further, or if you don't plan on seeing it, I guess you can listen to your heart's content. So here you go. So yeah. Sorry, continue.
I liked that. I liked seeing them in prison. I liked their interactions with the guard, and mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting. And anytime I can get the backstory of a character that I care about, like Harley Quinn,
right.
I'm like, yay. especially seeing Joker. Like, the entire time I wanted more Joker and Harley.
Yes.
The entire movie.
Joker and Harley were the best things about this movie.
Yes. Absolutely.
Not together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So like the scene where they're in the car together and like she screams Batman ruined date night.
Yeah, like yo, yeah, like Batman yeah. like they're like he's in his Lamborghini and Batman jumps on the roof and she grabs a gun and said, "Betsy's ruining yes. date night." She starts shooting into the roof. That's hysterical.
It's amazing. It's yeah. perfect. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't crazy about her being a stripper.
I don't think she was a stripper.
I think it was kind of like a ploy to kind of I didn't quite understand what was going on there. Did you?
No. Okay. I don't think she was a stripper. I think she was just at the club having fun.
Okay.
I don't think she was a stripper at all.
Okay.
But
well, I mean, she didn't strip, so I guess I can't say that. But it was kind of like,
no, I don't,
what's Harley Quinn doing here?
Yeah. But like, I don't think she was a paid dancer or anything like that. I think she was just dancing, having fun. But that scene, there had to have been way more to that scene because that scene didn't really make sense.
It didn't.
Like,
there was a few scenes in the movie that did not make sense.
And I actually, maybe we should talk about this.
Okay.
So there's some behind the scenes information.
Okay.
Where reportedly what happened was, is that you remember those, that reshoot news that came
yes,
about a long time ago?
We talked about it.
We were defending the film saying mm-hmm. every film goes through reshoots and people were saying like, no, this is, you know, like this is multi-million dollar reshoots. You know, like this is a big deal. And other people are saying, no, it was all planned and everything like that. Well, apparently what happened was, is David Ayer, the writer and director of Suicide Squad, he made his film.
Okay.
And then they showed it to a test screening audience and they made two versions. Like there's the David Ayer version, the director's version, and then there's a studio version. And apparently test audiences like the studio version more. And so David Ayer is like, okay, well, maybe we can find some common ground between my version and the studio version. Apparently the studio version was more jokey and more cartoony, and David Ayer's version was a little bit more grounded and darker.
Okay.
And so it kind of felt like it was movie made by committee.
Yeah, it did.
And I mean, like, even from that article, that's what they're trying to make it sound. And from us watching it, like, I think that's a good example of a scene that they needed to keep for character building, but yet at the same time, it didn't quite make sense.
Yes.
Because you're talking about Joker, you know, he devoted his existence to getting her out of prison, spending money, killing people, capturing helicopters. And then in this scene, he tells this random guy, oh, like, Harley, you're like, you belong to him now. What? What does that mean?
It made
like,
no sense.
It didn't make any sense. And so if Joker really meant it, then it goes against the character that we saw later in the film.
Mm-hmm.
If Joker didn't mean it and it was just a ploy to mess with his head.
See, that's what I thought it was.
That's what I tried to convince myself of, too. Because then he shoots him for no reason afterwards. It just didn't make any sense.
It didn't.
But Joker and Harley together was fun.
Oh, yeah. And it led to, you know, the car chase, which was like, it was just so fun to see them together. And it was also really fun to see the backstory of, like, Harley and Quinzel just, you know, falling for Joker. And mm-hmm. I think I would have loved to see more of that.
Oh, no, absolutely. I wanted to see way more of that.
I wanted to see more of it. And I, you know, I kind of wanted to see Mad Love, let's be completely honest. Like that part of Mad Love, like not all of Mad Love, but I wanted to see at least that section played out better.
I kind of wanted that to be the opening of the movie.
Me too.
I wanted Dr. Harleen Quinzel
mm-hmm.
to be trying to rehabilitate Joker and then fall in love. And then she, like, he tortures her. She goes crazy, jump into the vat, and then boom, Suicide Squad. And then, you know, like, that's kind of how I wanted it to open. But that's because you and I are huge Harley Quinn fans.
But, I mean, they focused a lot on them, but mm-hmm. not enough.
Not enough. But the thing is that that scene that we got in the trailer when he starts laughing and then he comes in and he says, he's like, I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to hurt you really, really bad.
Yeah.
They did this weird editing effect to it, and the scene felt disjointed and weird.
It did.
And like it was like an odd flashback. And so I feel like we didn't get that full story. This whole movie felt like there was so much more.
The editing felt like we were just getting snippets of what they had.
Yes.
The entire time. I was like, but I want more of that.
Yeah.
Wait.
We're like, no, that was cool.
Wait,
go back.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that was cool. Oh, all right.
Like, oh, wait, they're all a family now. Okay, that's weird.
That was my least favorite line in the whole movie.
Oh, my God. Okay, we'll get to that.
All right.
But yeah, so the character introductions, we love the Harley Quinn and Joker stuff.
Yes, needed more.
Needed more. I didn't hate Will Smith.
I didn't. To kind of go forward a little bit, as the characters progressed, especially in that last act, I was like, I didn't like the characters as much.
No.
Because we had developed them really well in the beginning, but then I felt like they were just phoning it in at the end.
Yeah.
The lines, especially. Yes. The dialogue.
Like, is it possible that the writing started strong and then got weaker as it went on? I mean, like, that's weird, right? Like, that's weird that the writing's, like,
should stay somewhat consistent, you'd think.
You'd think, especially from the person who directed it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It was very strange.
So, we get introduced to all these characters, and it's very, like, it felt very rushed because they had so many characters to go through, but at the same time, you accepted it.
I kept justifying it, though. I kept saying, okay, we have all these characters, probably should have narrowed it down a few.
Did we need Kitana? Did we need
Slipknot? Yeah, I didn't think that we needed all of them.
Did we even really need Boomerang?
Not really. You know? I mean, they're interesting. Like, there were certain moments that Boomerang made me laugh, like with his pink unicorn. Mm-hmm. But and Kitana was cool looking. But how did they really, like, create more to the story and art, contribute to it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, okay, like, here's the thing, is that, like, let's just get this out of the way. This movie suffered from being too big for its britches.
And I think it was supposed to deliver so much.
This was supposed to be the turning point for DC films. This was supposed to be the savior. This was supposed to be, like, okay, Man of Steel was very tepid. Batman v Superman, people hated it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, well, at least Suicide Squad is here. Once Suicide Squad comes out, this is going to turn everything around. Like, this is going to be a new ball game for DC. And this movie, and they got David Ayer, the guy who directed Training Day, okay? Directed Suicide Squad. This movie should have been small.
Yes.
This movie should have been intimate.
Yes.
This should have been a small scale. This should have been a break-in heist movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what Assault on Arkham was with the cartoon. And you know what? We called it from the very beginning. The problem with the story was the Enchantress.
Yes.
Because, yes, you have metahumans and you've got, Killer Croc. You have some of this going on. But the cool thing about Assault on Arkham was it was a very simple mission.
Yeah. Break into Arkham.
Yep.
Get the MacGuffin, break out.
Exactly.
That's it.
That's all that was required. We saw Joker pop in, mm-hmm. which was really fun. Mm-hmm. And we had Batman, who was trying to mess him up.
Yeah. And there was a lot of parallels between Assault on Arkham and this movie.
There were, but not enough.
Not enough. And when they diverged from the storyline of Assault on Arkham,
that's where it failed.
It turned into Ghostbusters.
Yes. I was like, what is happening? Because, I mean, okay, I thought that the idea of Enchantress was cool. Like, the first time when she, like, became Enchantress,
oh,
I was
that
like,
was amazing.
Ooh, that's cool. Like, when she grabbed her own hand, like, I was like, that is cool and creepy and awesome.
Yeah, like, you guys, you know what, like, if you missed it or if you were going peeing, you know, like
he does that a lot.
Shame on you, yeah. because, like, she puts her hand on the desk and then she says, Enchantress. And then it looks like a hand is underneath her hand and they're going to hold hands, but then it flips it over and then all of a sudden she's Enchantress.
It was awesome.
That's the thing. This movie lands moments really well. This is a collection of really awesome moments where you and I were like holding each other's hands going,
we were like, wasn't that awesome? It's so true.
But then those moments started happening less and less as the movie was going on when the movie was quote unquote getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, because I mean, let's be honest, the best part of the movie was when we were just dealing with them interacting with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Just talking. Just
and their backstories.
Yeah, that's all that we... That was the part that was the most interesting, you know, and I thought that Viola Davis's character was really cool, too.
Yeah. Well defined.
Well defined. Interesting. You know, and again, a lot of parallels to Assault on Arkham. But once we added into this whole like, you know, the brother and sister and, you know, Enchantress and like once we added into this like. Again, we have to destroy the whole city.
Not just the city. They were going for the world.
Right. And, you know, I swear to God, if I see another light in the sky with some type of machine or portal into space in a superhero movie, I'm going to freak out.
See, okay, here's the thing is that so many people have tried to say that DC is trying to be like Marvel with creating a connected universe in their films and everything like that. And I used to say that was crap because Man of Steel was nothing like a Marvel film. BVS was nothing like a Marvel film. But the thing is, Suicide Squad kind of felt like a Marvel film.
It did. It did.
And I'm going to get heat for this. But if you slapped a Marvel label on that movie, on Suicide Squad, I guarantee you would probably get like a 65% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because here's the thing, is that maybe I'm overstating it, and I'm not trying to dig on Marvel. I'm not, because I respect Marvel.
I think I'm going to disagree with you, and I'm going to say that I think Marvel would have done it better.
No, you're right.
And I love DC.
No, we love DC, but here's the thing. If it was under Kevin Feige, if it was under Disney, it would have been a better movie. It would have been made better. That no argument there. But the thing is, if you had this exact same movie, change the names, and slap Marvel on it, I'm talking about same writing, same progression, save everything, it would have gotten better because that's what we expect from Marvel. We expect this ragtag team at the beginning to become superheroes, face adversity, and then save the literal world because there's a shining blue light into the sky.
I will agree with you there.
Okay, so...
I will agree with you there.
I like I said, I might be overstating it. But I feel like this, like up until this moment, I would have argued, no, DC's not trying to be like Marvel. If DC instead of DC finding their own identity with Suicide Squad, they tried to copycat Marvel and it was a cheap copy.
I think so too. I absolutely agree. And if you're gonna do that, you have to do it better.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't. Now like you said, I think that we both are in agreement that there are some pretty fun and awesome moments in this movie.
Yes.
Like we said, I really think that Enchantress was, I think that that being your antagonist was the flaw.
Yeah.
Like if we had had it just simpler, I think it would have been better. What were some other moments that you really enjoyed?
The ones that I really enjoyed, I don't know. I thought the fight scenes were really cool. I thought the gunplay and the fighting and like Harley Quinn using her bat. I thought it was well choreographed.
Yeah.
I thought the fighting was well edited. That's the thing. The fighting was well edited, but I don't think the story was well edited.
I also kind of felt like we didn't get in. Maybe I'm understating it, but I didn't really feel like we got enough of the hand to hand. Especially when we are dealing with like our main opponent is, I don't know, like able to move. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but
I don't know. I enjoyed the fight scenes, but at the same time, I didn't because I didn't want just these weird goo monsters.
Yeah.
I wanted them to be fighting actual people. Cause here's the thing
with skill.
Why would you call Boomerang and Harley Quinn to fight magical beings that can shoot satellites out of the sky and literally destroy the Earth.
It makes no sense.
You wouldn't. You wouldn't call the Suicide Squad for this kind of job.
No, you would do it for a heist.
Yes.
You would do it for a mob, you know.
Like a mob underground mission.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like when you want, like, here's the thing is, like, if you, I keep saying here's the thing. Amanda Waller created the Suicide Squad, you know, Task Team X or whatever it's called, so that they have plausible deniability, so that they won't get their hands dirty, and so that America can stay clean, but they can do all the dirty business. Okay, you have some enchantress, like you have something going on where like the world is going to be destroyed. You call the Justice League, okay?
Exactly.
You call the Justice League, and you don't say,
you definitely
like,
need Superman in there. Yeah. You definitely need.
Well, I mean, Superman's dead.
Well, I know, but...
But, yeah, it's just, you don't...
You need Wonder Woman.
You don't need plausible deniability...
No.
...to save the world.
No. Yeah.
And so the whole premise, and also the motivation was so weird, where, like, the people are, like, the squad's going forward, and then they think... I don't even remember what they think they're doing.
They think they're going to go get someone.
But they don't know who,
don't
and it
know
turns
who.
Out to be Amanda Waller.
Yeah, which was weird.
Like, I was surprised too. I was like, oh, she was in danger the whole time. Why was she in danger the whole
time?
So
she sent them to get her? Like, I...
And then...
There were so many missing pieces.
And then once Amanda Waller was gone, but then recaptured, they had a confab in a bar, and then were like, okay... We're not just going to save Waller. We're going to save the world. Like, we can do this. That was the worst scene in the movie.
That was a horrible scene.
That bar scene was the worst
scene.
Well,
first of all, why, like, their motivation for just, like, going to the bar was, like, I'm going to go to the bar now.
That was their motivation, was just because Will Smith said,
I'm
going to
go get a drink.
Yeah.
That was their motivation.
And then all of a sudden, they are just a ragtag team where they...
A family.
They love each other. They're a family. And they're never going to leave each other. And where did that come from? Where did that
they
come from?
They had a few drinks and now they're good.
Like, from our perspective, you were on a mission together for maybe an hour.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're a family. Like, we find out that Diablo killed his own family and he said, he's like, I already lost one family. I'm not going to lose this one.
That was my, I hated that line so much.
Do you know what my least favorite line was?
Which one?
When over 6,000 year old being was trying to destroy the world.
Oh, you're gonna say.
And then Flag has her heart in his hand, says, I'm going to destroy this. And this 6,000-year-old being who is about to die says, you don't have the balls.
Yeah. It was...
Really?
It was horrible.
Really? This is the line. Like, you, like David Ayer, you or whatever producer forced you to write this, you were sitting in front of your computer and you go, yeah, that's what she's going to say. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's the most epic line that you can come up with. And it doesn't even make sense for her character.
No, I just...
I know.
It was... It was horribly written towards the end.
Yeah.
Horribly edited.
Well, Okay, so you know the part where Enchantress shows them what they want? And you see Harley Quinn with Jared Leto, let's be honest.
Yeah, I was like,
that's what I want.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Two kids, nice house. Yeah. No.
And Jared Leto.
Oh, thanks. Thank you very much. Yes. No, I know he's a handsome man. Okay. You already have a handsome man.
I do. You're my Jared Leto, baby.
But not as douchey. No, it's...
He has really pretty eyes.
No, he's like I said, he's one of those people that pisses you off because he's a good singer, he's a good actor. And he's pretty.
I know.
You know, that's annoying.
It is.
Annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. And beautiful.
But yeah, it's, but yeah, no, I like that. I like, I liked seeing that secretly she wanted to be normal. Secretly she wanted that life.
And, yeah.
And I thought that was well.
But again, I was like, it's just because I'm seeing her in a flashback again. Because, I mean, that's what I liked the most was I kept seeing that when I'm like, oh, I need more of this, whatever she's thinking or feeling. Yeah.
Also, speaking of flashbacks, we see the flashback of where she gets, where she jumps into acid, or chemicals, I should say, the same type of chemicals that made the Joker. And I thought that was a really good scene.
It was cool.
I thought it was, because that's Harley's new origins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's her latest origins.
Okay.
What was with that moment where, like, he tries to convince her to do it, where he says, I really like this line. He's like, would you die for me? And she goes, yes. He goes, that's too easy. Will you live for me? And she says, yes. And then she jumps in and he acts like he's going to walk away. And then he kind of shakes it off and goes like, he doesn't say this, but inside his own head, he's kind of like, oh, okay. And then he takes off his jacket and jumps in. What was his motivation there? Like,
the only thing I can see is that he's realizing that he actually does have feelings for her. That's how I interpreted it. And
instead of just using
it. And I'm not going to lie. I did like how there was more appreciation for Joker, had more appreciation in this version for Harley than Mad Love. Like, it wasn't like he just, you know, basically used her and abused her. You know, yeah. I mean, there was some of that. Don't get me wrong, but it was a lot more of like, I'm going to come get my girl.
Yeah. Yes, so, very much so. Because that's the thing, is that the Joker-Harley relationship is not a healthy one.
It is not.
Okay, we're not trying to say that.
No.
It is an abusive one. It is a disgusting one. It's a crazy one. We're talking about two very crazy, damaged people here.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of stigma behind it, because in the comic books, Harley Quinn realizes this.
Mm-hmm.
She realizes that Joker is no good for her, that he's just an abusive relationship. And so she gets out of it. And everybody goes, yay. As they should. In this particular version, it starts off abusive because he manipulates her.
Tortures her.
He tortures her, drives her crazy, and then brings her over to his side. But we're living in a comic book world.
Mm-hmm.
And so once we get beyond that, he realizes that he is just as dedicated to her as she is to him.
Which
and I think you're right.
That
was the turning point.
I liked that. And that's how I felt
in that moment.
Perceived
it, yeah.
I was like, okay, this is the turning point where he actually realizes he does care for her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, he didn't kill her on the table. He just, you know, made her crazy. Okay. You know, I think there was another opportunity that he had to, like, possibly leave her, kill her, or something like that.
With the chemicals.
I thought that was interesting.
But then, like, when the car crashed, though.
Yeah, he left her.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I loved when she, like, poked her.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, in that scene when, like, they're underwater and she's through the windshield and Batman's trying to get her, she's acting like she's unconscious. And then once he gets close, she tries to, growls at him and then tries to cut him. And then she just knocks her out.
Yeah.
And then when he does CPR, she starts making out with him.
It was awesome. I loved that. Those were the moments we were, like, holding hands and we were like, that's awesome.
Those moments were amazing. Yeah.
But then I just felt like they just kept going away. Like, when she gets the heart out of the Enchantress, I was like, really?
Like, Harley...
Harley Quinn got the heart out of the Enchantress?
Yeah. It was... It
didn't make sense.
Yeah, I think...
And in that moment... Okay, in the Enchantress scene, they kept having to give each person their hero moment.
Mm-hmm.
It was like... And there was like four hero moments throughout the entire thing.
All in slow motion.
Exactly. They all got her.
Of course, all in slow motion.
Exactly. It was just, ugh.
I think the point, like, well, obviously the Enchantress stuff was the worst stuff. But I was trying to get through it. Like, as I was watching it, I was like, okay, this was obviously the wrong move. Like, as I'm watching it, I'm like...
Well, when we even talked about it, we realized that would have been the wrong move. Because anytime you're adding that into it, we had talked about it in previous podcasts. We're like, that's what makes me nervous about this movie.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that we saw the trailers and you didn't really see too terribly much of the Enchantress stuff. Like, you didn't see the big blue light in the sky.
Right.
You didn't see the beings.
Probably
and everything
on purpose.
Like that. Yeah. But then once you got to the Comic-Con trailer, the latest one that just came out like a month ago or so, that's when you saw all of these beings in the blue light in the sky. And both you and I were like, oh, man.
Yeah.
It's going to turn into let's literally save the world.
Exactly. Yeah. And we
don't
need
that. And it turned into Fantastic Four and Ghostbusters. That's what it turned into.
Yeah. It was unfortunate because with those characters, you have so much potential.
So much potential. And that's why you keep it small, because you can focus on the characters. When you keep it small, it's character-driven, drama-driven, and you have some action in there, of course. But that's where you can get a good movie, is from a good story with good characters, not set pieces.
Exactly.
And that is where DC failed in this movie,
mm-hmm.
is that Marvel has, I don't want to say, how do I put this? I don't want to give Marvel too much credit, because this is Nerd Nuptial. But when they do the big set pieces, they make sure to show you these characters, and that's mm-hmm. But the thing is, they build these characters for a long time before they have the big set pieces.
Exactly.
So like in Winter Soldier,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're talking about, like, these are great character moments. It's like it kept it small. It's its own genre. Like, it's a spy thriller.
Mm-hmm.
Now they had the big ships at the end, that were going to kill a lot of people. And so it was kind of on a global scale, but it didn't bother you because they had such great character moments and such great acting scenes and everything like that. And you look at The Dark Knight, you know, like it's about his battle between the Joker, and it's about his battle between right. Two-Face.
Again, small.
The city is not going to blow up. Nope. The world's not going to blow up. It took Nolan 3 movies to take Batman to Gotham potentially getting blown up.
Yep.
3 movies to do that.
Right.
And then with Suicide Squad, they do it with this crew right off the bat.
I think that that's the biggest problem with DC right now, is that they haven't spent enough time on individual characters
mm-hmm.
to develop these ideas. So how they feel with Batman v Superman was they didn't have a standalone Batman movie. So we had to fill that gap in the movie because we didn't care. I mean, they tried to make us care, but the conflict, it wasn't all about the conflict. It was kind of about getting to know Batman,
mm-hmm.
and then the conflict happened, but, I don't know, in my opinion, not for a great reason. And I think that if we'd had a standalone Batman movie, then when we bring Batman and Superman together, we'd be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing here. Like, maybe have, you know, a movie about Joker and have Harley Quinn in it, and mm-hmm. maybe another character that we want to explore, and then we can kind of start, you know, assembling these people. Yeah. Now, that being said, these characters are not as developed naturally as, you know, some of the Marvel characters who have their own comic books and stuff like that.
Right.
I mean, some of them do, but it would be a little harder to do.
Yeah. Yes, yes, it would. And it's, yeah, that's the thing, is that Marvel took its time. Marvel had a lot of missteps. I mean, like, people like to forget Hulk and Iron Man 2 and everything like that. Those were, like, right out of the gate. Those were, like movies 2 and 3 and everything like that. And so, you know, like, it's okay to misstep. But the thing is, DC is trying to skip steps.
Exactly.
And that's, I think, the issue.
I think so, too.
Because, in my opinion, in this podcaster's opinion, the DC characters are 1,000 times better than Marvel characters. But right now, Marvel knows what it's doing in a cinematic universe. And they're
doing a better job with their characters.
They're servicing their characters better.
Yeah, people know about these obscure characters because they've done such a good job of showing them off
mm-hmm.
and making them likable, and that we do care. The Avengers are a family.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to just say it.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, that's the thing. Don't say it if it's not true.
Exactly.
You're turning it into a trope.
You're forcing it. You're forcing the issue.
Not only that, you're not even forcing it. You're lying.
Yeah.
You're lying to the audience.
Yes.
And I know that all of, like, I know that Matt Hansen and Lee Hutchison and John Mills are all jumping for joy and screaming at their phones or at their speakers saying, like, because we're giving Marvel such props. But that's the thing, is that,
well, I think we can acknowledge when something's failed. I mean, give us that.
That's the thing, is that, like, you and I are hardcore DC fans.
Yes. I'm sad that it didn't work out, but.
But that's the thing, is that Suicide Squad is the, like, Man of Steel, we were like, okay, it's not that great, but whatever, you know, like, they'll make up for it with Batman v Superman came out, and we're like, well, Tristan really liked it, the girl not so much, but even after the Ultimate Edition, you were like, hey, okay, you know,
a little bit better,
you know, like, but so that maybe they're maybe they'll learn from their mistakes. Suicide Squad is proof that they are rudderless.
Yeah, I mean, there are moments that I really love in that movie just because I got to see Harley Quinn. Mm-hmm. But that's basically just for me, but I can't say that it was a good movie.
Well, even with the Joker moments, even though we love the Joker moments, we didn't really get to know the Joker character.
No, we did not. We did not.
You know?
Well, it was like the scene where he's in the room full of knives, and then did you see like the onesies on the floor?
Yes!
I was like, what the heck is going on?
I wanted to point that out to you so bad.
I did too. I'm surprised that both of us didn't just point at the screen.
I know. I didn't want to be rude and start talking,
like,
but I was just like,
happening?
There's onesies next to all these grenades and knives. And also, why are they arranged this way?
Right. Like, do you just have this?
But the thing is, yeah, we didn't really explore the character of Joker. And that's okay. That's okay. But I can't really comment on the character of Joker because we didn't... Like, we got some
didn't
great moments.
As much as
but we
like
didn't
to.
Really explore his... Yeah, Jared Leto's performance. I don't know. Like, I saw one post before we saw the movie where somebody said that they didn't see the Joker at all. They didn't. They just saw a guy in green hair. They didn't see the Joker. I disagree. I think it's an interesting take on the Joker where he is much more integrated into the mob than previous iterations that we've seen. And it's like he has his own money man.
Yeah.
Like he has his own henchman who is but an upper level person. Like mm-hmm. someone who can exist in the real world for Joker.
I didn't mind that.
I didn't mind it either. I thought
it
was interesting.
And I, you know, like with him with the Tommy gun, like, you know, like that felt very comic booky and I liked that.
Joker,
I thought it was fun. And, you know, like I was even okay with like, you know, his tattoos, you know, being, it was okay. I mean, it wasn't my taste, but I was like, okay, you know, I was very open to how, cause you know, we've seen Joker before. Mm-hmm. So to make him your own, I was open to the fact that it's got to be something different.
Right, right.
And I did think that it was cool to see him and his relationship with Harley, even how damaged it is.
Yeah.
But I thought it was just interesting.
Yeah.
But I wanted more because, like you said, it's hard to comment because I didn't get enough.
The best line in the movie is, I've got a chilled grape soda and a bearskin rug waiting for you, or like with your name
yes.
on it or something like that. And it
was amazing.
So friggin' hysterical.
Oh, that was another moment where we were like giddy.
So that line in the trailer where he smacks the guy in the face and says, I can't wait to show you my toys. That wasn't in the movie.
It wasn't in the movie. You're right.
That was such
he was on the guy's lap.
Yeah.
But he didn't say that.
And that was a funny moment. Like when he brings out his ring for him to kiss.
Yeah.
And then he kisses it and then he jumps in his lap. He's like, I felt like you really meant that.
That was funny.
That's very Joker
yeah,
to me.
It was. I liked that. I thought it was fun.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I feel like him kissing his ring, having like a right-hand man, a conciliary.
Yeah.
You know, that felt very mobster, very Godfather. I think that's the realm they're going into because he's the clown prince of Gotham.
Right.
And so that I think that lends itself to being an upper crust mobster.
I liked that. I thought that was interesting.
Is it exactly how it is in the comics? No. Is it exactly how it was with Heath Ledger, Jack Nicholson? Well, more so with Jack Nicholson,
actually.
Yeah, I was
going to say.
Yeah,
that was more that way.
Yeah, now
for
that
sure.
I say it out loud, it was more like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
There you go.
Yeah, I was okay with that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, but I feel like there's a whole other movie out there that we haven't seen.
I feel that way too. Like, I want to see David Ayer's version.
I wonder if they'll release both.
I don't know. You'd hate for them to do that twice in a row, like after Batman v Superman. You'd think where they would just go, we'll just release the best version. You know, like,
yeah,
just,
well,
I don't, that's
that.
The thing is that, like, I feel like there is way more Joker and Harley stuff out there that we haven't seen.
I think so too. Even just from production stills that we've seen.
Yeah, production right? stills and the scenes, the Arkham Asylum scenes felt very truncated,
mm-hmm.
very cut down. I bet you we could easily gotten a half an hour out of
Arkham. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because we always say that we like the dark superhero mm-hmm. movies. But I felt like when this movie got dark, it got worse.
Yep.
And I liked the fun, comic booky, you know, part of this movie the most because I felt like it had the most voice.
Right.
Whereas when it started getting more serious, it was like, okay, now you're just, it's all, I mean, I started getting bored.
It started transitioning into a different movie. Like,
it did.
At the beginning, like, they had weird music integration. And at first, I was like, okay, this is a little odd to have this much boisterous music with lyrics underneath dialogue.
Yes.
But you kind of got used to it, and then they completely abandoned their style.
Mm-hmm.
It was like somebody started working on this movie, and then they're like, okay, I'm going to hand it off to you by act two, but I'm still going to help you through it, but I'll be gone by act three.
Yep.
That's what it felt like. Apparently,
that's definitely how it felt.
Apparently what happened was that David Ayer made the version he wanted to make, and they were worried that it didn't look enough like the trailers that they made.
No, for real?
For real. And so they hired several people from the trailer company to re-edit the film.
How does that make sense?
It doesn't.
Oh my gosh.
And so there's only one editor credited on this film, but there was like five other people who worked on it.
Wow.
If that report is true.
Wow.
Yeah. And it came across that way.
Well, here's,
it's a camel.
Well, here's, yeah, exactly. But here's the fault is if your trailer, the first trailer isn't the movie that you were supposed to be making, shouldn't have that been caught right away?
Yeah.
Like, this is not the movie I made.
Right.
Okay, we probably shouldn't put this out. You know, instead of backtracking and making it the movie. Like, really?
And that's the thing, that's why some people are worried, because they spent so much money on reshoots that they have to earn even more than a normal film would make of this stature to get their money back. Some people are saying that if it doesn't make $800 million, it's not going to be considered a success.
Wow.
That's a high bar to reach,
yeah,
in order to be considered a success.
Jeez. That's crazy.
Yeah, like when Batman v Superman made $850, like, that's a lot of freaking money.
Yeah.
But now, because of all the extra costs of advertising and reshoots and all everything like that, not to mention the horrible CGI that they rushed.
Ugh.
It was really bad green screen, really bad CGI. And that's the thing. If you made it a simple movie, if you made it small, you wouldn't need that.
You wouldn't need any of that.
You wouldn't need
You'd have a few explosions, but yeah, you wouldn't need all this other stuff. Ugh.
All right. Well, we're running out of time. So we started off liking it and then started complaining about it. And then we're talking about how DC just friggin' screwed the pooch. So out of five.
Out of five?
Out of five stars?
10?
Or...
five stars?
What do you want to do? Five stars, four stars, or 10?
I usually like 10.
You want to do 10? Okay, so out of 10.
Because I give it a grade.
Is your teacher? Yeah, exactly. Let's give it a grade. Let's give it a grade. So out of 10.
This is hard. Can you give your score first? Because I always give mine.
I give it a 5. And I think I'm being generous by giving it a 5 out of 10. Because I am being generous. I'd say like a 4.5 out of 10. Because it had a lot of great moments that made mm-hmm. me laugh and giggle, and that just like made me geek out hard, like mm-hmm. all the Harley and Joker moments.
Yeah.
The Flash coming out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Batman appearing.
Yeah.
All made me geek out, and I just loved it. But the story is weak. The editing was horrible, and it just felt like a movie by committee, and they like broke it up into parts. They're like, okay, John, you're going to get part one, and Jeff, you're gonna get part two, and Jennifer, you're gonna get part mm-hmm. three, and like that's gonna be your section of the movie. And it just felt like movie by committee.
Yeah, it
and
did.
And it just,
it also felt like writing by committee, and like I felt like someone wrote the first part, and then someone like was assigned like, hey, can you do this in like 15 hours? Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
Can you write the end of the movie? Great.
Like,
thanks.
Just get that to us by tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely felt that way. And so that's why I give it a 4.5 out of 10, is because I had so many fun moments.
Yeah.
But overall, it just was not a good movie. And
I wanted it to be so good.
I wanted it to be good too, because if they wanted to make it the movie that they promised us in the trailer, then they wouldn't have made it. It wouldn't have been them trying to save the world mm-hmm. with the magic enchantress.
Just do Assault on Arkham.
just they should have just done Assault on Arkham. Let's like go watch Assault on Arkham.
Seriously, that's what we're gonna do right now. Because I feel like if you're drawing from it already, Assault on Arkham, then why, like, don't mess with something that works. Mm-hmm. Like, that works for those characters.
Yep.
Like, why mess with it?
I don't get it.
I know. Because they need the big, they crazy need the, explosions the, and...
Another yeah. friggin' blue beam in the sky. Oh, my gosh.
Seriously, if I see another superhero movie, I'm going to, like, get up out of my seat and walk away.
So tired of it.
Well, I don't know. Well, yeah, for me... Mine's definitely around that number. I would say probably a 3.
Really?
Yeah, I mean...
That's probably
more it was accurate. Not a good movie, even though... And, I mean, I'm saying that honestly because I wanted it to be such a good movie. Mm-hmm. I want it to be, like, at least a 7 or 8.
I know.
I went in kind of prepared, like, okay, let's
hope... If I get a 7, I'll be happy.
I will be so happy. Awesome. Yeah. But, oh, we did not. We did not get that at all. Yeah. All right.
Well, now that we're ending on such a downer,
let's go watch Assault on Arkham.
Let's go watch Assault on Arkham. We'll always have the comics, but no, I'm very interested to see where they take Harley and Joker in the future because that's where the movie ended. The movie ended with Joker rescuing Harley.
True.
Even though Joker looked friggin' ridiculous, like Joker should never be in a SWAT team uniform that was weird. And helmet.
No, I wanted him to walk out from the SWAT team
like have a SWAT team come in and then Joker in full Joker regalia walks in like the Joker. Right. Yeah, that was weird. Yeah. That was weird. But yeah, they ended on that obvious note saying like, okay, we're going to get more from these two people.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see more from those two people. But I don't necessarily want to see a Suicide Squad 2.
No. I doubt it'll make it.
No, I don't know either. Yeah, but I do want to see more from Joker and Harley. Let's make a Batman Joker film. Let's add them into a Batman solo film.
Yeah, like they're the. I mean, again, I wouldn't mind seeing another where they're the bad guy. You know, the antagonist.
There's a rumor that the Batman solo film that Ben Affleck is working on and writing and everything like that is going to take place in Arkham.
Oh, okay, that'd be pretty sweet.
I'm so excited. That'd like, be pretty you and awesome. I want an Arkham movie so bad.
I really do. I really do. Yeah. Well, we can only hope. Although, if DC's doing it, they'll probably just mess it up.
Again, this is one, like, again, we love DC, we love Batman, we love Superman, we love Joker, we love Harley Quinn. But right now, at DC/Warner Brothers, you need to
do something.
We need to do something different. You need to find your feet. You need to find your identity.
Seriously.
And they haven't yet.
No.
And so every new movie we're saying, well, we always have this. Like after Man of Steel, we're like, well, we always have Batman v Superman. Well, we always have Suicide Squad. Now we're saying, well, we always have Wonder Woman.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously, I hope that they do well with that one.
Me too. Because we'll it looks good. Tune in a couple years and with Nerd Nuptial. All right. Well, I love you.
I know.
And I have some grape soda waiting for you.
Yes. A bearskin rug. Ain't no mercy, ain't no mercy. Got that purple Lamborghini lurking. Ain't no mercy, ain't no mercy. Got that purple Lamborghini lurking. Rosé.